appreciate what God's done in my heart and helping me. And I appreciate the message this morning. And thank God, Brother Jerry, I didn't realize when you was talking about getting them sheep that you was going to get some wild ones. Amen. I'd have probably, if I was going to get sheep, I'd want me some good ones. Amen. I wouldn't want to run them around. Amen. But I know, praise God, we got churches full of wild ones. Amen. And amen. But I'm thankful to be here this morning. I appreciate God's touch. Amen. I didn't know where I was going to be able to say a whole lot this morning and may not be able to. But I'm glad, praise God, for the call of God. And amen. I appreciate the opportunity. Amen. Just take the Bible in hand. Amen. Share a few scriptures with you. Do what God's put on my heart for His glory and His honor. I appreciate your prayers. Amen. I've had some sickness in days gone by. Amen. But He's on the throne. Amen. Thank God for His goodness to us. Take your Bible this morning. Amen. Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Amen. As we read this morning, you pray for as much. The Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's head, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore." Then turn with me to Psalms 55, if you will. Psalms 55. Amen. Verse number 14. Scripture says, "We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." You can be seated. I appreciate you standing on God's Word. I'm thankful, praise God, for the opportunity to be able to serve God in these days. I've watched this congregation this week and I've saw tears. I've saw smiles. I've saw laughter. I've saw sadness. I saw brokenness. Amen. And some of the broken has been helped. And I saw them light up. Amen. Amen. I was thinking the other night when Michaela, I believe it is, was praying here on the altar. I watched her when she first started weeping on this side over here. And I've been watching her all week. I don't know why God just put her in my vision for some reason, but I watched her when God broke her over the other night. And I saw that heart, I mean, that broken spirit, amen, that God was dealing with her. And I saw her bow her head and start crying. And amen, she wasn't looking too attractive right then. Amen, the conviction of God upon her. And she was weeping those tears, and she'd look up and go back down. She'd look up and go back down. And it kept on like that. But I sat there, praise God, when Brother Jerry was preaching a while ago, and I looked back at her, and there's a big old smile on her face, just sitting there, just smiling. I'm glad, thank God, there's something that God can do for you that'll take that bitterness, take that sadness, that brokenness, amen, and bring it out of you and put joy in your life. Amen. And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning, if God will help me, on honey in the house. Amen. I'm glad that, amen, I got a little bit of something in me that keeps me going on through bitterness and trials and heartaches and trouble. Amen. And we're in them days. You've got to admit, we're in them days. And praise God, our churches are discouraged. Most folks have, amen, we're doing the best we can, but just don't seem like we can do enough. But I'm going to tell you, God has got a honey hive. And He puts sweetness in your soul in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the trials and the temptations. Amen. He can put honey in your soul. As a young boy, my dad purchased 27 hives of bees. And we went to my uncle's place in North Georgia and picked those bees up and brought them back home. And before we got out, we didn't get them stopped up good, and we stopped on the top of Soco Mountain, next to Cherokee, North Carolina. And we got out to get a drink of water, and my daddy had an old 48 GMC truck, an old flatbed, and we had them beehives on the back of that. And we got out on the top of the mountain of Soco over there to get a drink of water. And one of the deacons from my home church was with us, and he said, "We gotta go, we gotta go." My daddy said, "We ain't even got no water." And he said, "We ain't gonna get none of them bees out." Now, if you've got 27 hives of bees on your truck, and amen, and they're buzzing around, you ain't gonna stay very long, amen. So we got back in the truck and pressed on and come on to our house. Took those bees off, set them on the hillside where the eastern sun could come up and hit them first thing in the morning. And those bees begin to produce. My daddy would work with him, and I'd go with him. And he'd take those supers off and dress them, clean them, put them back on, raise honey, make honey. And I always liked that. I don't know why, but I always liked it. Well, I know why now, because God wanted me to preach on them. Amen. Amen. But after my daddy got up a few years, he quit. And we got out of the bees, let the bees be sold, and we quit. But after me and my wife was married, I got interested in them again. So I purchased a little 3-pound swarm from a fella. And I put them in a nuke stand, a little small stand that's got 5 racks in it. Put that swarm down in there so they could get started. And you gotta have a queen bee. And she is the director of that hive. Whatever she says, that's what the bees do. She's in command, total command. The workers don't run it. The drones don't work it. Amen. Those worker bees go out, bring in the nectar, and make honey. All that queen bee does is she just organizes and produces. She is a large bee. You can pick her out in that hive anywhere you want to find her. You can pick her out because she's bigger than everybody else. Amen. And she's in total control. Nobody does anything without they talk. Unless they talk about queen bee. She makes the workers go out. She makes the keepers of the hive, the cleaners, she makes them do what they do. She tells them where to put the honey, and she tells them the cell size, and this is what's amazing. There ain't no big cells, and there ain't no little cells. Amen. Every cell in a beehive is exactly the same size. Now, I don't know how they do that. Well, I do know how they do that. God. But all those little cells, same size. And those little bees, about 3 days old, they'll go into that hive when they're hatched. And they'll clean all the other empty cells out that's left. So mama bee can come by, put an egg in that cell. And they'll cap it off, and that little larva in there will begin to grow. In a few days, a new bee will come out. A worker bee only lives for about 3 months, and he dies. But he dies out in the field. If something happens in the wintertime that a bee dies, those little workers that have huddled together in a little group, they'll turn a few loose, they'll take that dead bee out and carry him off into the woods somewhere and drop him. But the majority of those worker bees, they die in the field, gathering nectar and pollen. Amen. About 7 weeks old, they'll leave that hive early in the morning, and they'll never return. I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, we're going to leave out here. Amen. We ain't going to return for a little while. Amen. But then we are going to return. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, this place here is not my home. Amen. The preacher said it last night. Just a pilgrim passing through. But I want to labor while I'm here. I want to do what I can. But I'm here for the glory of God. She produces those worker bees to clean. They get about 2 weeks old. She commands them to go out and start, amen, being nurse bees. And they take care of the sick. They have a little bee that's kind of weak or something, and she'll tell somebody to take care of that bee. And they'll bring nectar to that one bee and feed that bee till it begins to get its strength back. Something that amazed me about the worker bee is there's no females. They're all male bees. That kind of fixes this pulpit for me. Amen. I don't think all y'all got that, but it fixes this pulpit. Amen. Amen. There ain't nowhere in this Bible you can tell me that there's anything but a male supposed to be in this place. Amen. But that queen bee has something inside of her, a pheromone. All them other bees know her, no matter where she's at. They know where she's at. And she hums. She sings a song all the time. I pick those queens up. I can't hear it by my natural ear, but I can lay my finger on top of a queen. And you can feel her vibrate, Brother Dan. I mean, just that little tremble in her. And them bees pick up on that. When you put a new queen in the hive, sometimes you'll have a bad queen. If you got a bad queen, she produces mean bees. Amen. Now, I like hard preaching. Don't y'all get me wrong, but I like hard preaching. Amen. I can take it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We got a bunch of preachers down in our country. I don't know whether they're here or not, but they're down yonder. And they've got a taste of blood. And if you get one of them to come to your place and preach, he'll try to kill everything there. It ain't his place. Amen. It's that pastor's place. He knows the hive. He knows, hey, Brother Ronnie, you know your hive. I don't know your hive. Amen. But you know how to deal with that crowd. It ain't somebody you bring in to preach a Sunday morning service. Ain't none of business of his. Amen. You hear me now? Amen. I've had them come preach for me, and praise God, take me a month to get things straightened out. Amen. Just got them a taste of blood. Think they ought to be mean as a junkyard dog every time they preach. You can be as mean as you want to, but you better have honey in your heart. Amen. You better have some joy in there. You better have a broken heart. Amen. You preach to a crowd like Brother Jerry's sheep. Amen. You better treat them good. Amen. They'll love you and hear you and do what, amen, God commands them to do. That queen bee has a pheromone in her that causes her to be what she is. You take that small swarm, a 3-pound swarm, put her in there, make a new hive. But when that queen bee gets out of order, the queen bee will live about 6 months and die. So she has to raise another queen. She'll go through that hive and pick her out a cell. And she'll put one egg in there. Now she has something that God put in her that can produce a female. And those little worker bees will go out and they'll start bringing in bee bread. Amen. And they'll feed that one little cell. And when that cell hatches, it'll be another queen bee. And something happens right there that God let me see this years ago. Amen. Something happens when you get two heads in one hive. One morning, that queen bee will get up. She's master. She controls everything. But now there's one hatched over here. A younger bee, just a few days old, but she already thinks she's in control. Amen. And when she gets out of that hive and begins to work, she always pulls a crowd to her side. Part of those worker bees will pull over to her. And then you have what you call, in Baptist terms, a split. Amen. That new queen bee will take part of those workers. And they always send one out, Amen. I don't like that. Praise God. When somebody comes around me and saying, hey, do you know what so-and-so done? I just shut up. If God wants me to know, He'll tell me. Amen. But you've got them and I've got them. Amen. Lord, help us. But they always send one out. There's always one that's going to do something, going to start all the trouble. And inside that hive, those bees that's attracted to that one, they'll come out. They'll find them a place, a holler hole, amen, a storefront building. Amen. A house somewhere. Amen. I believe God ordered us in this Bible that we come together in the house of God in one company to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. But down in our country, we've got what they call house churches now. Amen. They'll get a little five or six over here and go to house. What's they going to do that scripture so forsaken not to assemble yourselves together? Amen. But they'll get that family over there and they'll have church at home. You ought to have church at home every day. And if you got honey in your hive, you will. Amen. But they'll get that little crowd. They'll send one out. Go find a hole in a tree and they'll go to that. They'll try to raise right there. I noticed here a few months ago, we had a bebop crowd move into town. Over behind our, we're a big town now. We've got a Burger King and a McDonald's, a steakhouse, a drive-in eating joint, and a Subway. Two other places that I'd rather not go to eat, amen. And a Chinese place, maybe two of them, I don't know. That's about it. You got your pick when you go to Spruce Pine. You better eat at home, amen. But it's amazing to me how that even in a little community in our county where we're at, there's a church, Brother Mike, there's a church every 2 miles. And there'll be 15 here, 20 over there, 6 here, and 4 down yonder. God ain't never ordered that. Amen. I know there's denominations and all that, but God didn't order that either. Amen. Amen. But they'll find them a little hole somewhere and go and settle in. They'll try to produce. But something happens with wild bees. We've got what they call a mite. And that mite they will attack that wild bee. Our country, Brother Roger, you know this for a fact. Amen. Our country is just about out of wild bees. They're all tame now. We have to put aster strips in our hives so they won't contact a mite. But that wild bunch will always wind up gone. Amen. That crowd moved in over in town. Amen. Got everybody out of every church around there, tried to. Amen. They got to singing of the bouncing ball, singing 7 words 11 times, and amen, everybody's calling it worship. Ain't no God in that. Amen, I like victory in Jesus and how great thou art. Amen, amazing grace. Thank God. Amen, I'm not going to sing 7 words 25 times and call it worship. Amen. But they won't last long. There's a mite got in that crowd over there. They're going to move up. One of the mining companies there own what they call Pine Bridge. And they moved in that Pine Bridge building over there, but then their crowd started falling off, and they lost the building. Amen. And I don't know where they're at now, brother, and thank God I don't. Amen. Amen. They're gone. I was preaching one Sunday night. Amen. An old boy in our church, he don't have a whole lot of sense if he's got any at all. And I was preaching on that crowd, and he's like a schoolboy. Preacher. And I said, what is it? I said, preaching. Amen. I said, what is it? He said, have you been over there in that place? And I said, no. And he said, did George tell you I went over there? I said, no, George didn't tell me you went over there. And if you did, you need to get in this altar and repent. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I ain't got no use for that over there. Amen. I'm not a wild bee, amen. I'm not out there trying to contact this world, amen, or get it in me. I'm trying to get away from it, amen. That's why I like a honey house, amen. Something about honey that I'll get into in a minute. But look at that hive, and sometimes you get a deformed queen. And it's amazing that deformed queen bee will produce bees like she is. If she's got a hump in her back, she'll produce them kind of bees. If she's got four legs, her little ones will have four legs. So you got to get her out and kill her. Got to kill her. Amen. I believe it wasn't it Elijah that killed them prophets over there on the mountain? Amen. You get a deformed queen bee in your honey hive, you got trouble, friend. Got bad trouble. Because sooner or later that'll die. That whole hive will die. But anyway, you take a bee queen, another queen bee, and most of the time you can get a new queen for about $30. I had a good friend that raised queen bees. He had 600 hives a stand at one time. He's dead and in glory now, Brother John Jackson. But he became a champion queen bee breeder. Amen. And he would raise those queens and, amen, and sell them. That's the way he made his living, selling queen bees and honey. But you can take that little old queen bee, and she comes in a box about this big. And it's about maybe an inch and a half square. It's got a screen on both ends. Amen. It's got a place in the middle. It's got a hole bored through it. And it's got a sugar candy over that hole on the inside. And you take that new queen when you bring her and introduce her into a hive. You take a couple of racks out and you set her down in it. And she's in there. All them other bees is around her, but they don't like her. She's a stranger. And they don't like her. Isn't that what the Bible says about, amen, being strangers? Amen, some of y'all have been around churches when they change pastors and you first said, I don't like him. Amen, I don't like him. But that priest come in there and preach to you. And amen, you felt a little bit of honey dripping off of him. Amen, you begin to say, you know, I kind of like that fella. He's preaching right. But that little queen bees in that little old box, there's just a few honey bees over here on this side, worker bees. And she's over here. There's a hole in the end of that thing where that queen bee's going to, she's got to come out that hole. So she's on the inside of that, and she's eating at that candy from the inside. On the outside, them worker bees is working to try to get in there and kill her because she's a stranger. So they eat all that candy out. But the whole time, that new queen is humming that song. She's a-singing to them. And them bees is all fuzzed up and mad because that new queen's in there. They're looking for the old queen. One day, she makes her way through, and just a little bitty pinhole comes in there. Then they really go to work. They just fly in there, and they eat as all as fast as they can to get that little place of sugar candy out of the way so they can get to her and kill her. But while they're doing that, they're falling in love. And on the third day, you hear me now, on the third day, it's always the third day. I don't know why God ordered it that way, but on the third day, she'll come through that candy cell, and instead of killing her, they'll just get all over and start rubbing on her and just fussing over her. I mean, just it's amazing how they just cluster around her. And what they're saying is, we're glad you're here. We're glad you got out. Hey, man, we've been mad at you for so long, and now you're out with us. And, you know, I don't know why we do, but we love you. Glory to God. I went to a church up on the hillside. Hey, man, God dealt with my heart about what I needed to do. And I kept telling these men, praise God, I'm not a-coming. Hey, man, I'm not going over there. Hey, man, I don't want to pastor another Baptist church or just a bunch of mean rebels. Hey, man, they'll cut you down. They'll kick in the back. Praise God, it's bad. I don't want God. I don't want a pastor. I'll do whatever God wants me to do, but I ain't coming over there. Amen. Maybe I'm the only preacher that's ever been that way. They come in and say, Brother Ken, I want you to be our pastor. I said, Fess, I don't know how to pastor a church. I don't. I still don't. Amen. Amen. And I told him, I said, I don't have a pastor church. And one of my other deacons, Brother George Biddick, said, I looked at you and said, well, what in the name of heaven are we doing over here talking to him? And they kept on coming. Kept on coming back. And finally I said, all right, I'll come. I'll come preach. So I went up there and preached. I told my wife, I said, I'm going up there and preach to him. And I said, that's it. We'll come back to the house and forget about it. Amen. Went up there and preached, went back to the house, couldn't forget about it. Amen. Called back and went back again. Been there 16 years. Lord God, help us. 16 years going on it. And amen. And I found out, praise God, when I got around that crowd, amen, they began to cluster around me, Brother Ronnie. Praise God, there's a pull of God in my heart. Amen. I don't know why, but I love that bunch up there. That bunch of outlaws and a bunch of rebels. But they're in my heart and I love them. And I'm in their heart and they love me. Amen. 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 Some of us drove 5-6 hours to get here and longer than that. Amen. Back out last night they took a picture of us. Amen. For our paper there at the church. Amen. I think there's 18 or 20 back there. Ain't that amazing? Praise God. Amen. If that follow, Lord help, follow somebody like me this far. Amen. To get a little honey in her soul. God help us. Amen. They'll take her. They'll love on her. And the first thing she does is start producing. Start producing. And then they go in and they put a, what they call a super on top of that hive. They put, most beekeepers put 10 racks. But I always put 9 in mine. I want that thick honey. Amen. The more room they got in there to expand, they'll make a longer cell. And they put more honey in it. One fella that I knew there raised bees, he'd take a super off and he'd get just a little under a quart of honey out of his racks. I said, you ain't producing honey, son. He said, yeah. He said, that's the way you do it. And I said, no. I said, where you're pulling one rack out and just getting a little under a quart, I said, I pull one of mine out and get almost a quart and a pint. He said, how you doing that? I said, I ain't a-telling you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I finally broke down and told him. He'd come back the next year and he said, you know, that's amazing ain't how much more honey they can put in a big cell. I said, you got it. Amen. Amen. You gotta want God, and you gotta want that honey. If you're ever gonna get anything from God, you gotta want it. Amen. Amen. I wasn't just fooling with bees, praise God. Amen. I like honey. Amen. Amen. Brother Milby likes honey. Yeah. Praise God. Not being boastful about it, but praise God, he called me the other day and said, Brother Ken, no, we're together down in Alabama. Where was we, preacher? Amen. Alabama or somewhere. And he said, I'm about out of honey. I need some honey. I said, it's on the way. Amen. Brought him 8 quarts when I come up this time. Two. You say, he likes honey, don't he? Yeah. Amen. You ever get a taste of it, you'll like it too. Amen. You get in the right place and get with the right people, you get honey in your soul. I was thinking about the sweetness here of honey. Psalms 55:14 says, sweet counsel together. Amen. Psalms 104:34, sweet thoughts together. Amen. Proverbs 3:24, sweet rest in Him. Amen. Proverbs 16:24, sweet words from Him. Proverbs 27:7, He talks about the bitter being made sweet. Ecclesiastes 5:12 talks about a sweet sleep. Ecclesiastes 11:7 says sweet light. Isaiah 23:16 says sweet singing. Now, I got to looking at that and I thought, you know, I've got people in my church and I'm sure you have. That's how I can't sing. But you know, I've noticed something about them, Brother Ronnie. They say I can't carry a note, I can't sing. But to get in that choir down there at the church, and there's something about being with somebody else that can't sing. Amen. And somehow God takes that brings it together, and it makes a sweet song. Amen. I'd be the first to tell you, I never thought I'd be here leading singing. But to hear you all sing, and ain't none of y'all going to tell me that you're a professional singer. Amen. You ain't had no lessons, ain't had no classes. Amen. You hadn't learned how to pitch your voice. Oh, Brother Zeb McDyre said, when you sing, said, put all into it. Just throw your head back and holler if that's all you can do. And somebody over here, praise God, will be on the same note you are. And amen, it'll produce sweet singing, amen. To hear these ladies sing, praise God, I'd rather have Jesus and that song we sung about a while ago, bringing that melody together. They ain't none of them can sing a lick without everybody else. And you can't either, amen. You say, you hurt my feelings, preacher. Well, you got too much pride then. Amen. But it makes a sweet, sweet singing. And that's why I like coming up here. Because there's honey in the house. Brother Jerry preached a good there a while ago about being that shepherd. And going after that wayward lamb. I was thinking, when Brother Milby asked me to preach there a while ago, I was thinking about how good it is to have honey in the house. And down where I live, there's different kinds of honey. I like to hear that. Amen. Down there, Brother Danny, there's what they call wildflower honey. And there's blackberry honey. And we got popper honey early in the year. And y'all don't mind, do you? My throat's been a little raw last few days. My goodness. A better life I'm had. But something about honey. I looked it up on a medical site. And there's a doctor in Boone, North Carolina that treats wounds with honey. They'll take a honey patch on an open wound and they'll lay that honey over that wound. And there's something in here that's an antiseptic, Brother Ronnie. And they said it'll increase the healing time of that honey. 3 or 4 days. And I said, Lord, if that's true, the way I'm wounded sometimes and talked about and discouraged, amen. I said, Lord, take me over yonder to your honey hive and just pour it on me.
Amen.
Fix me up real good. And he does. Amen. Brother, I don't know you. You're from where are you from? You ever had sourwood honey? You're fixing to. You ain't allergic to it, are you? You know, that is amazing. I have never talked to anybody. Some may be, but I've never talked to anybody that's allergic to honey. How is it? You feel that little burn? I tell you right now, you ain't used to it. Hey, mate. Now, Brother John, he knows about it. Hey, man, Brother Luther, you ever tasted it?
Uh-huh.
You're about to. Now, it'll drip on you if you ain't careful.
Whoop.
I wouldn't be afraid if it did, though. It won't hurt
no,
you.
No, I know.
Hey, mate. Brother Teal?
I'm glad you're looking at me, brother.
You're a West Virginia boy. You might have.
My mouth's watering right now.
You might have tasted it, though. Have you tasted it?
I tasted wild honey.
Hey, man.
There's a man right down the road from the church.
Now, that ain't wild. That's tame. Boy, that's right where you're going. You're doing all right. You reckon these boys ought to have a little taste. I don't know about old my deacon there. I don't know about him. You like it? Let me help you. I ain't going to give you but just a little. Amen. Hurry, it'll drip on you. What do you think? Ma'am, how old are you? Do you mind telling me?
74.
74. You had sourwood honey?
I think we have. My husband.
Would you like a little more? It'll drip now if you're not careful. You like it? Sister Joe, you want some more? Now, this is an actual thing. Brother Caleb, you need it. Come here, Miss Christie. Step over here. I'm going to give it to your mama. She can tell you about it. You've had it. I know, Miss Christie. But I'm going to say something. This young man preached for me not long ago. And he made a statement at my church. He said, I see more shouting and worship in my house when I was growing up than I did in a lot of churches. You've got a wayward boy. But Brother Wayne, he got a taste of this. And once you get a taste of it, once you get a taste, you ain't going to find God's honey in a jar. But once you've tasted it down at God's house, Brother Larry, there's something gets deep down in your heart. Amen, Grady. Praise God. I know you've seen Papaw pray and shout. Amen. Got honey in his soul, but you can have it too, son. You just keep going after God, son. Get right with God. Amen. Repent of your sin and call on Him as Lord and Savior. Amen. He'll put honey in your soul. Brother Larry, I know you've had it. You not only had this natural stuff, praise God, but you've had that divine honey. Amen. And it's helped you. It'll help you along the way. Amen. If you're discouraged, it's in the jar. Amen. You can have it, praise God. Amen. I found out years ago. This world ain't got nothing from me. It comes from heaven, praise God. Amen. It's give by His hand. Amen. He'll do for you. Put sweetness in your heart in the trials and trouble. Amen. He'll help you. Amen. If you want it, praise God. It's here on this altar. Amen. You come and get all you want. Amen. You can get that honey or you can get God's. And I tell you right now, I love that stuff. Amen. But I'd rather have heaven's honey, Brother Danny. Yeah. Thank God it'll carry you when you're sick. Yeah. It'll carry you when the doctors don't know what to do. Yeah. Right there on that altar. A few years ago, God come in here. Amen. And me and Brother Bob said right there on that altar, God touch this whole body. Amen. Give me healing honey. Amen. Thank God, Brother Bill. I'm going to do it all right. Amen. I'm done. God bless your heart. Amen.